I've been off and on. I first ran for city council back in 1987 and served for, I think, 4 terms, 12 years, and took a break. Mm-hmm. And have come back now and then and with some years in between. The term limits are kind of nice. They force you to take a vacation and get some house chores done now and then.
Right.
So yes. It's been a lot of fun. We went through some very difficult years in the late 80s when we weaned ourselves off of money from Juno and lots of oil money flowing in. And those are tough years. And I know people think that today everything is tough and difficult, but compared to those years, it's a lot more pleasant.
Yes. Well, it's always difficult when you have to cut back. There's no easy decisions.
No.
But, yes, the city council did very well. And I have to compliment you and the others, too, I suppose. But it was mostly Jerry. So.
No, it was not. We had a lot of help, a lot of good staff that helped, too.
Yes, yes. And, so the city has weathered that fairly well, but now new era, and there's Proposition A on the ballot, and that has to do with the tax cap within the tax cap.
Right.
So could you explain that for us a little bit?
The tax cap at the city is put into our charter. Our charter is like a constitution. The only way the charter can be changed is by a vote of the people. When the tax cap was originally, the initiative was done, it put it into our charter back in the late, I think, 1989 or so. Mm-hmm. The borough does not have a charter, and so that's why they vote on the tax cap every 2 years. If you are to do an initiative at the borough and succeed with the voters, that initiative has the force of law for 2 years. After 2 years, the assembly can keep it, modify it, or get rid of it if they want to. And so the ITA, I notice every 2 years, circulates the petition to keep it in effect so that mm-hmm. it can't be tinkered with. And they've been successful now for 30-some years, I think. And mm-hmm. I think people saw that it worked. When it was first introduced, there was a group called the Fairbanks Tax Alliance. It was headed by Hank Hove, who's a former borough mayor. And it was modeled after caps that you would see in other communities. I think this one came out of Anchorage. And it's just a pretty simple idea. It just says that the city or the borough, you can collect as much tax revenue as you did the year before. You can grow it for the inflation rate, which we call this Consumer Price Index, CPI. You can grow it for new construction. Mm-hmm. You can grow it if the voters vote in any additional services or bonds, that sort of a thing. You add that to the base. But if you want to grow it more than that, you have to go out to the voters and get their approval.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So it's not really a cap in the sense that your taxes cannot go up. They will, because they're going to go up by at least the Consumer Price Index.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a firestorm back then. People thought, well, the libraries are going to close and the swimming pools won't be open and on and on and on. Of course, none of that ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you served on the borough assembly for a while, and I think there was years in which they left some money on the table even.
Very little.
Very little bit, yeah. And it just forces some responsibility, because government always tends to grow faster than the population that it serves.
It did, and it still does. Yes, it puts a limit on spending. It's a revenue limit, so that gets estimated, and then the borough budget, at any rate, is debated and established accordingly. And mm-hmm. some years they've put in a provision to put. Defer some of that into a maintenance fund. In other years, it's been a spending goal. If there's been a lot of new construction, So that's, you know, it doesn't work perfectly, but nothing ever does. But cities works a little bit differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ours has changed a little bit in 2007 in that there was an initiative to freeze the mill rate at 4.9 mills.
Mm-hmm.
That has caused problems in certain years, not all years. And I'll explain that by giving an example. Let us say that last year we collected a total of $100 in sales and property taxes at the city. So this year we're entitled to grow it by the CPI and new construction. Let's say that's 5% increase. So this year we're entitled to collect $105.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that we would do, or the chief financial officer would do, is go, okay, I'm going to estimate how much will come in sales taxes. Let's say it's $40. So that leaves $65 on the table that you can still collect.
Mm-hmm.
The next step that she would do is simply figure out through what the mill rate would be to collect $65.
Mm-hmm.
You set your mill rate, you're done. You can't collect more than that. That would be illegal because you're violating the cap. You can collect less if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But usually at the city that doesn't happen. You just go up to the maximum and that's it. Now, in the years that the 4.9 wouldn't collect that $65, it was pretty much just left on the table. We had an option of creating another tax under the cap, that's mm-hmm. legal, or raising the sales taxes to pick up those few extra bucks. But the absurdity of that is, let's just take alcohol. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is at 5%. If we computed that, if we collected 5.24%, then we could collect all the money that's entitled. Right. I mean, it won't work.
Okay. Well, I am showing a quarter past the hour. We have to take a little break here to hear from our sponsors. And you're listening to Problem Corner. And with me in the studio is Jerry Cleworth. We're talking about the Proposition A on the city ballot, and we will be right back after these messages. So stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's not hard to figure out why Kelly Chewbacca is running for Senate. For Chewbacca, public service pays off. According to a government inspector general, Chewbacca likely committed fraud while working in Washington. She charged taxpayers for almost 15 weeks of work she didn't do. That adds up to more than $35,000. Then, Chewbacca moved her family to Anchorage at taxpayer expense, $81,000. And Chewbacca quit her job without repaying taxpayers a dime, even though we paid Chewbacca $190,000. That's $36,000 more than her predecessors made. Kelly Chewbacca's public service costs Alaska taxpayers big. It's no wonder Chewbacca's running for Senate. Why get off the gravy train? Reject Kelly Chewbacca for U.S. Senate. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
It's time again for the Alaska Health Fairs, a nonprofit providing health fairs statewide since 1980. These health fairs offer free education, screenings, and the most affordable comprehensive blood tests and caring customer service in Alaska.
The next health fair is this Saturday, October 1st, from 8 a.m. to noon for the Delta Junction Community Health Fair in the Delta Elementary School gym on Nistler Road.
For more information on the upcoming Alaska Health Fairs, go online to alaskahealthfair.org.
Expressway Auto reminds you that when you change over your tires this season, that you ask them about getting an alignment for your vehicle. Whether two- or four-wheel drive, your ride will benefit with less tire wear and longer life for your treads. In addition, Expressway now offers a full selection of tires for your car, light truck, and SUV from Yokohama, Nokian, and Toyo, so there's no better time to get everything done all in one place. Expressway Auto, your Napa Car Care Center, stands behind what they do with their 36-month, 36,000-mile warranty. Call for your appointment today, 888-659-0631. Expressway Auto in North Pole.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR tires and service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Overcast skies today with highs around 44. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 32 tonight. High temperatures reach up to 52. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. More clouds than sun Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. With me in the studio is council member Jerry Cleworth. We're talking about Proposition A, which is to adjust the cap within the cap. And if you have questions or would like to participate in the program, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. So, Jerry, we've been talking a bit about how the city revenue cap works, and the total revenue stays the same. It's just how you adjust. And you were saying there's been some complications in years when the 4.9% mill rate comes into play. Now let's pick it up from there.
Yeah, in the example I mentioned earlier, sometimes that 4.9 rate covers the entire cap. You can collect what you're entitled to under the formula of the tax cap. Other years, it does not. You leave some money behind. Then has a compounding effect that you can't recapture that. That's your now that established as your base rate for the prior year.
Mm-hmm.
We have done things for many years to kind of work around that a little bit to try and stay up with the inflation rate. We had a lucky thing happen some years ago with the marijuana taxes because they are outside the tax cap.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're collecting annually a little over $1 million a year. There was a business license established back in around 2008 or 9 that made up for the losses on some of that also. But it is something we've talked about for years, is to go back to the voters and say, we would like to just go back to the original tax cap and allow it to work the way it was intended to work.
Mm-hmm.
This year we were lucky, the 4.9 covered everything. And that's something we really need to explain to people. This is not a great revenue generator for the city. Some years it won't generate any revenue at all.
Mm-hmm.
In other years it might pick up, I'm thinking at the whole, a couple $100,000 or something like that. That's the most that's ever been left behind. So in the grand scheme of things and the budget at the city, it's pretty a minor item. But it's something that has been problematic for us in the past. So for those that are hoping that the city's going to get a lot of extra money to spend, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
and those that are afraid that their taxes are going to go sky high, that won't happen either.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very difficult thing to put on the ballot, and we apologize to the people out there. We tried to take a very complicated formula that has this has become, and explain in one paragraph everything. And I'll tell you, I took several stabs at it. I know the city attorney tweaked it, city clerks, chief financial officer. So this is the best product that we can come up with to try and explain to somebody in the booth who's seeing it for the first time what is going on. But that's basically why I get the message across to people. This is not an earth-shattering change at the city.
Right.
If it were voted down, it would not be the end of the world. I hope it gets voted up because, like I say, I believe in the tax cap, but I believe it should work the way it was intended.
Sure. And the city, there is some rationale for that. The city governments need stability, revenue stability. Always with downward pressure, of course, but that's the council member's job.
Yeah.
But they need some stability, and I can see where you you could vary the revenue by adjusting the sales tax rates, but that I remember when we had the restaurant. Frankly, I don't remember where the sales tax came from, but the city used to, I think it was the city, somebody had a sales tax. And that, well, we were doing it before computers, but if you adjust the sales tax rates, that's a little bit challenging for businesses to accommodate that, even if you have a computer-assisted cash register, which probably everybody does now, but it becomes a hassle. And whereas the adjusting on the mill rate, that's just 1 year or once a year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a sales tax, can you imagine trying to collect one based at 5.24% or whatever weird number you come
right.
with? You can't do it. It's got to be an equal sense and something that's simple. 5% on alcohol when they collected a nickel, I guess that's pretty doable.
Mm-hmm.
But 5.5 cents, not really doable.
Right.
So you round it up, or what do you do?
Yes. Well, and then you have to have a hacksaw so you can cut the pennies.
There
in
you
half.
Go.
Yeah, right.
We used to have 0.5 cents in America. People forget about that.
Right.
So now there's also a Proposition B. And right. this was, Aaron Gibson, I got to give him credit for this. When the borough raised a residential exemption from $20,000 to $50,000, we did not follow suit because of the cap within the cap.
Mm-hmm.
That actually would be, we couldn't recover that. That would just have been a hit. This gives people at least the option if they want to raise that exemption from $20,000 to $50,000. The pro to the residential owner is you'll save some bucks.
Mm-hmm.
The downside to it is the commercial rates. The commercial properties will make up the balance, essentially.
Right.
Some might think that's fair because this year the borough, as everybody knows, raised the residential exemptions very high. The commercial rates were not raised. I own a building in downtown Fairbanks, and I actually saved like $500 on my property tax bill this year because the residential rates went way up. I paid more on my house, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But because they raised the assessments so high, you have to lower the mill rate.
Mm-hmm.
And in the borough, you notice in your tax bills, lowered it by about a mill. That's a pretty big move.
Right.
And that's simply because they raised the residential rates so high. But the commercial rates were not raised this high.
The residential appraisals.
Appraisals,
yes,
that's right.
The appraisals went up, but the mill rate went down. So on your tax break, on your tax bill, it's a pretty much net zero.
They're still going to see an increase, I'm sure, for at least the CPI and some mm-hmm. other things. But the break came with the mill rate, and that's the tax cap kicking in. That wasn't – when I read the paper article, it said the borough assembly lowered the mill rate by a mill. I'm going, wait a minute, that was basically a function of the tax cap that lowered the mill
mm-hmm.
rate. But who – whatever.
Right. Right. So the change if – well, let's see. If Proposition B passes, then yeah. there would be a higher exemption – on residential property, from 20 to 50,000.
Correct.
On the exempt from taxation. The first 50,000, if it passes, would be exempt from taxation.
So it would be a mixed blessing to me because what would happen is yes, I'd save money on my home,
mm-hmm.
but I would pay more in the my commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's not a savings really. It might even be a hit.
Right. Yep. And that is a problem in economic sense. And I don't know, one of my reservations about the residential property exemption is that homeowners get a tax break. Renters do not because they live in buildings that are assessed as commercial properties and they pay their share of the property tax within the rent. Has that ever been discussed? Is there a way to address that?
You cannot set, under state law, different rates for commercial or residential properties.
Okay.
And so whatever the borough or the city does, whatever that mill rate is going to apply equally to
mm-hmm.
them. There's been a lot of talk about trying to change that, but right now that's the way it is.
Yes.
But I think Proposition 2 is, I think it's good because then the voters can make that decision. It's not going to affect the city.
Mm-hmm.
It won't cost us a dime if they increase that exemption, but I think it's an opportunity for the voters to give us their instructions on that.
Right. Yes. And it will. There's, especially in a city, it is good to have building, good to have more property built. More density equals less cost per service, all else being equal. So, yeah. All right. So that's good. Part to a good proposition on the ballot as well. I guess they're two separate questions, so we'll have to think about, do we want both of those? But it'll be good. Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that clarifies some. But I'll say, if there's anybody out there listening that just goes, I don't get it.
Right.
You know, feel free to call me, and I'll be happy to try and explain it again. I've done that for a lot of individuals lately.
Right, I can imagine. Which is another good thing about having Jerry Cleaworth on the city council. He is accessible. So, yeah. Do you have a telephone number that you want to give out?
My home phone is 452-5551, and that's preferable to the work phone because I usually can't talk to people when I'm at work that much.
Right.
I get interrupted all the time.
Right.
But usually home, yeah.
Okay. And leave a message and you'll call back?
Yep.
All right, very good.
Absolutely.
Well, I hear the music starting. That means the satellite is coming overhead and the satellite's going to take over the program. We have to stand by for national news and some messages from our sponsors and the people that fund the program. And we will be right back with you after that. So stay with us and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Hurricane Ian is heading toward the Florida Gulf Coast, with Governor Ron DeSantis saying about 2.5 million people in his state are now under evacuation orders.
We can't unring the bell if you stay and you end up getting washed away with a historic storm surge or get caught in really, really significant flooding.
Ian is expected to intensify to a Category 4 hurricane before making landfall in Florida tomorrow. The Biden administration is unveiling its plan to end hunger in the U.S. by 2030.
Which includes expanding monthly benefits like SNAP to help low-income Americans buy food and increasing access to free school meals. They also want to increase healthy eating and exercise to lower the amount of people impacted by diet-related diseases like obesity and diabetes.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The U.S. Coast Guard says a ship on routine patrol in the Bering Sea came across a guided missile cruiser from China. But it turns out the cruiser wasn't alone when it was spotted about 86 miles north of Alaska's Kiska Island. The U.S. patrol ship, known as a Cutter, found two other Chinese ships and four Russian naval vessels, including a destroyer. The ships broke their single formation and dispersed, but the Coast Guard says the Honolulu-based Kimball will continue to monitor the area. The Coast Guard commander in Alaska says the Chinese and Russian ships operated in accordance with international rules and norms. A former Alaska attorney general has pled not guilty to charges he sexually abused a minor 3 decades ago when he was the alleged victim's high school coach. 58-year-old Clyde Ed Sniffen entered his plea Monday through his attorney. The allegations date back to when Sniffen was 27 and was a lawyer in private practice, but served as the coach of the then 17-year-old girls' mock trial competition team at an Anchorage high school. She has said the sexual relationship began during a trip to New Orleans for a national competition and continued for about 2 years back.
Streaming
in
live online at KFAR 660.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Hello, Fairbanks. My name is Brett Roderman, and I'm running for Borough Assembly. In my 31 years in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, I never thought I'd see the day when folks would choose to leave here because of high taxes and energy costs. Guess what? That's exactly what's happening. Right now, we need sound, conservative voices on the Assembly to make the right choices to keep the tax cap in place. Now more than ever, we need common sense and reason. Please vote for me, Brett Rodermund, on October 4th.
Paid for by Brett for Assembly.
As a septic tank and your friend, please be sure to turn on your home's water system circulating pump before winter. Flip that switch. Prevent frozen water lines and make sure you know where your outdoor drain cleanouts are before it snows. And if you have an emergency, Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing provides 24-hour service, salt you to Nenana. The Bigfoot with a helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
I'm Gunnar Knapp. I spent 35 years at UAA teaching economics and studying Alaska's economy. I'm worried about Alaska's future. I'm worried because folks are leaving Alaska because they see more opportunity elsewhere. Alaska is competing with other states for workers, and particularly for the talented young people our future depends on. To keep young families and new businesses in Alaska, it's not enough to have great fishing and PFDs. They're going to want good jobs and good and stable public services like cops, schools, roads, and parks. So I worry when we let the price of oil drive what kinds of schools our kids have and what kinds of roads we drive on. And I worry when I hear so many candidates and public officials only talking about how big a dividend we should pay this year. They should be talking about how we are going to provide and pay for basic services and bring stability to our economy. That's what we'll need to keep our young people and our economic future.
Paid for by Alaskans for Posterity.
As a senior member of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Lisa Murkowski fights and delivers for Alaska. Lisa's delivered historic investments to improve Alaska's infrastructure, securing billions for new roads, bridges, highways, ports, and ferries, and creating Alaska jobs. Lisa's endorsed by the AFL-CIO, Teamsters, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce because she's a champion for jobs and working families.
I'm Lisa Murkowski, and I'm honored to serve Alaska. Cutting through gridlock and reaching across party lines to deliver real results is what I do for you. I led the fight to enact the bipartisan infrastructure law, making historic investments in our roads, bridges, ports, and ferries. We're expanding water and sanitation, clean energy, and rural broadband. And I'm proud to have secured billions for our military bases and defense jobs. I'm for Alaska, always.
Lisa Murkowski, improving Alaska's infrastructure, fighting for Alaska jobs.
I'm Lisa Murkowski. I'm running for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Lisa Murkowski for U.S. Senate.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Jerry Cleaworth. We are talking about the city ballot propositions. Proposition A, which has to do with a cap within the tax cap, and Proposition B, which has to do with residential property tax exemptions. And if you have any questions about that or any comments, you're certainly welcome to call in. The number, if you want to call, is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And so, Jerry, we are talking about two issues primarily. The Proposition A, which has to do with the cap within the cap. And it is a revenue cap. That it's advertised as a tax cap, which ultimately it is, but it sets a limit on the revenue, and the taxes have to interrelate and work within the revenue cap. And that's kind of the main point of how this property tax part of Proposition A works. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we got that. Now we can talk about some other things.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, we got to review Proposition B. That is just simply increasing the exemption on residential properties from 20,000 to 50,000,
yeah.
Right?
Right. I think state law allows, and you might, it's either 70 or 75,000, something like that.
It was increased, and I forgot the number.
Let's just say 70,000. We knew that going into this, and we just decided to, and the sponsor decided to list it at 50. Mm-hmm. There is a concern about, we talked about earlier, transferring it onto commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And like somebody said, well, if it's transferred on the commercial, we just pay for it in the cost of goods.
Right. Yes. Right.
I said, that's absolutely right. Yeah. It's like when they say, you know, tourists don't pay any taxes when they come to town. Well, they do. They pay for their beds, the sales tax on the beds and for other items. But any tax that a business pays, you have to pass it on, else you don't make a profit. You go out of business.
Yep.
You've been in business, and that is, and they say, well, that's not the same. It's not the same as a direct, like a sales tax or something. I say, well, it is the same. They're still paying.
Yes.
I pay a business license to the city of Fairbanks, and it's around $1,100 a year. It's a hit. Mm-hmm. It's always due the 1st of January mm-hmm. when you don't want to write a check for that amount.
Right.
but I much, much rather pay that than to do a nickel dime tax on each sale and transaction. And,
right.
The problem more and more retailers have is with the internet. You have to be able to compete with the internet, and the sales taxes are a problem and how you do all that.
Yes.
I do get people that call up here and will buy things locally, and then we send it out to them. I don't think they're purposely avoiding sales taxes, but the big companies now have to collect those sales taxes on the cities and states that they are dealing with, like Amazon and all that. Mm-hmm. There was a court case some years ago that mandated that happen, which I think New Hampshire is trying to appeal.
Mm-hmm.
New Hampshire, Delaware, Montana, Oregon all do not have sales taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And Alaska, it's by local option.
Right.
So
yes.
A lot of different philosophies out there on taxation.
Yes, there is. And on the one hand, all else being equal, there's some rationale for tacking on the cost of government service to sales within the city. But yes, recently with the invention of the internet, that is very difficult for local businesses to compete. And usually people are very price sensitive. And so we don't really see that. There's no way to quantify it. But there are fewer retail businesses within the borough, within the city of Fairbanks in particular, probably within the city of North Pole as well, because they charge a sales tax. So you can't just impose taxes on someone else and think that it's going to work, that there's no consequences to that.
There are another problem we have here. The base has the base exchange, and we want them to shop off base as much as possible. You know, it helps the local economy. But if you were to have a sales tax, say 5% or something, it's another reason not to do that. And there's a lot of small businesses struggling.
Yes, indeed. So we have a caller. So let's go to the telephone. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with, please?
Randy.
Randy, what's on your mind?
Well, it's an interesting discussion you're having about the ballot issue there, but I was wondering if I could ask a different question about a different city issue that happened some time ago.
You have the expert.
Okay, good. I wanted to go way back to 2019 when the city council on February 25th, 2019, passed a sweeping anti-discrimination ordinance, known as Ordinance 6093,
mm-hmm.
And it did pass, but as you know, it was a few days later, it was vetoed
mm-hmm.
by Mayor Jim Matherly because he wanted to give the citizens all a chance to vote on it because it's such a monumental thing.
Mm-hmm.
I consider it very oppressive and burdensome and intrusive and authoritarian myself. But one thing, Jerry, that during I recorded that show off the radio show, because it's broadcast on the radio, and I was listening to that recently, and I noticed you and David Pruse, who were the two that voted against it in the final analysis, we're trying to offer various amendments to lessen the impact, I consider a severe impact, of that ordinance. And one of the things that you were specifically trying to do was you were trying to put a mediation clause. I know it's a long time ago, you know, I might forget all the details there, but a mediation clause to lessen the harshness of lawsuits and the expense that are going to be imposed, that could be imposed upon businesses here in Fairbanks that are just struggling to stay afloat. And that amendment to kind of encourage mediation instead of going straight to the chopping block of trial and everything was voted down by the other four who supported 6093. But in the course of that discussion, Valerie Therrien, who was one of the four that voted for this and who would, I'm sure, vote for it again if it comes up again, if it comes to mayor, she wanted to assuage your peers. And I recorded, I wrote down the exact text of the little thing that she said to try to soften your fear about it. And here's what she said, if I may quickly read it here. Valerie Therrien said this, quote, just as an attorney, I don't think attorneys want to actually end up in court in front of a judge. And it's been my experience that more often than not, there's always a request for a settlement conference. And so to assuage your fears, Jerry, I think that if these cases are filed, that probably the attorneys will recognize how expensive it is to do it, and they'll try to get a settlement judge to try to resolve it without ever going near a trial, quote, unquote. That's what Valerie Therrien said, mm-hmm. kind of directed directly to you. And I'm wondering, did that lessen your fears?
There were three problems with the ordinance that I wanted to work on. A lot of it was actually crafted very well. I'll give them credit to the sponsors that brought that forward, but some of it was not. This was going to be a law that we, the city, would put into our code, but we're not going to take care of it after we put it into code. So let's say somebody is discriminated against in a housing situation. Their recourse is only to go to court. And I said, you know, I think that's a, here we're going to put this law on there, but we're not going to enforce it. We're going to say, man, you got to go out there and go to court on it. I said, you've got to have a simpler thing like that that doesn't cost people money, either the person they're litigating against or the complainant. And, you know, I talked about using the city's fact-finding commission or coming up with a better idea, but I was just surprised that nobody wanted to do that. They wanted to be out of the city's hands and go to the courts. And I just thought it was a crummy way to handle a situation which could be handled at a much lower level. Mediation by an attorney costs money. Mm-hmm. And by going to the committee that we had at the city would have saved us. And I'm still surprised that we didn't get that in. The other problems with it were, as you remember, Randy, there are three parts: housing, employment, and public accommodation. We pretty well ironed out the housing and public accommodation, and a lot of it just simply mirrored state and federal law. But public accommodation, oh my gosh, there's the devil's in the details there. Mm-hmm. And we never did come up with that.
Okay. Well, let's hold that thought for a while because we are a little past the time that we have to take a break and listen to the sponsors. So you're listening to Problem Corner, and we're going to take a break, hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh, yeah! We're talking men's health with Dr. Tony Nima from Fairbanks Urology. Why are men so afraid of getting a vasectomy?
We now offer a minimally invasive technique for the vasectomies that really minimize the pain, in addition to offering conscious sedation right in the office that really takes the edge off. So vasectomy is no longer something that people have a lot of pain from, and you can go back to work the next day or the day after that.
Find out more about men's health with Dr. Tony Nima and Fairbanks Urology, now in their beautiful new location along with Fairbanks Clinic at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney.
For many years, Richard Croteau managed four maintenance facilities for the Alaska Air National Guard and built strong relationships with all the employees who work there. He understands the intricacies of running a large organization and working successfully with people from all walks of life. Public works, public safety, and the need to protect the city's infrastructure are important concerns for him. His experience and leadership would make him a great city council member.
I'm Richard Croteau, and we deeply appreciate your vote on October 4th.
Paid for by Croteau for City Council.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host, David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies and go to the archives page of KFARradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044 or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
44 this afternoon under overcast skies. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 32. Daytime highs approaching 52. Tomorrow, overcast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Thursday, with a high of 55. 48, mixed precipitation, possible at times. Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're on Problem Corner, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. With me in the studio is Jerry Cleworth, and we're talking about the property tax propositions on the ballot, and we got off into other interesting subjects. Yeah, Randy, are you still with us?
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jerry, for illuminating that question just there. Just one final passing thought I would offer is that, personally, I do not like this law at all. I think it encroaches on the natural basic human freedom to choose what they want. This particular ordinance uses the word prohibited 6 times in it. And that prohibitedness is not directed at the government. The government can't do this or can't do that. It's directed to the citizens. And then it also lists a variety of punishments that we've meted out. And my feeling is that we've been a free city since 1903, and I see no problem why this ordinance is needed, why these authoritarian measures are needed that would just harass businesses and allow for shakedowns and give meat to predatory lawyers looking for something to sue about. It covers not just the LGBT issues, but it also it covers race, color, age, religion, sex, marital status, changes in marital status, pregnancy, yep, parenthood, disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, ethnicity, and national origin. You know, a smorgasbord for sue-happy lawyers.
Yep. Okay.
And thank you.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts, and thank you for calling in.
Bye.
Yes. Interesting when you try and legislate something. The trouble is you can't get all of these details in an ordinance, and then you have a vague law that it's hard for people to know when they're within the bounds and without the bounds. So
it is, and on that one, you've had federal laws that cover a lot of this,
right,
and you had state laws that covered it, and oh my gosh, I remember putting so much time into comparing one with the other and going, well, this is redundant, and I don't think this one, I mean, it was way out of the scope of what we normally do. I mean, all of us bring different gifts to the table. Mine tend to be numbers-oriented instead of heavy-duty social issues. But, you know, we tried the best. I had heard during those discussions that the feds would not take these cases, and hence we need to have this on the books. So one day I decided to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on hold for about an hour, I think, and I finally got a human being, and I said, do you hear cases that pertain to, discrimination for mm-hmm. whatever reason? Well, yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear them for, folks that have been discriminated against who are in the LGBT community and all? Yes, we hear them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, can I use your name and tell the council and tell the community, no, you can't have my name?
Right.
Well, can I speak to your superior that they can send us an email and say, that, yes, we do this? Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. No, we won't do that.
Right. Yes. But
it is incredible.
Yeah, it is in statute, and it is in state statute to a degree, maybe not the exact same thing. And there are departments. And right off the top of my head, I can't name the within the Department of Labor, but yes, there is anti-discrimination statutes in place on both the state and federal level.
I think the complaint was they are too slow, and hence they wanted to do something locally.
Yes, but. And probably so, that government moves slow.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's a difficult thing, there was some valid points brought up really by both sides. And we would hope that we could work that out between us. If we're going to be a self-governing nation, we have to learn to govern ourselves and treat each other respectfully and not.
You hit that's the nail.
Yep.
On the head there. Just teach, treat people with respect.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Eliminate many, many of these laws
right.
that we have if you just treat them with respect.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And we're kind of moving away from that, and that is unfortunate because when you try and write a law to govern something or a statute to govern something, it is very difficult to make that apply equally to everybody and make it fair. It favors yeah. one over the other inevitably to some degree.
Yeah, good point.
So then we're going on. We have some time left here. We've kind of covered the propositions pretty well. What are the other things that people need to be thinking about during the city election specifically?
Well, we've got, I think, some good people running
mm-hmm.
For council. I'm glad we have people running. I know
right.
sometimes out at North Pole, they don't get people running for council, so it's always good to see some new faces. I think they give people a real option as to the direction. I've worked with Aaron Gibson for 3 years, and he brings a lot of talent to the table. That, and I'm writing a letter to the editor about just that.
Mm-hmm.
He's very sharp in IT and things like that. And,
mm-hmm.
Which we rely on more and more at the city. Our dispatch and public safety departments have such heavy use of software that we're constantly changing and looking into. Very complicated stuff. And the poor chief of staffs, Mike Sanders, gets stuck heading up our so-called ID department, which really doesn't exist because we contract that out now.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to understand everything that's going on there, looking at the bills that come in for this is a real nightmare.
Yes.
And I understand that. And all the telephones that we have in service, whether they're cell phones, hard lines, and which ones need to be hardwired for alarms and things.
Mm-hmm.
Very complex. And so it's nice having somebody like that at the table that can kind of understand things. And
yeah.
So we have good counsel right now. I just enjoy each person and the views that they bring to it.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with many years with Dave Pruse too, and sat next to him, and I've always appreciated the fact that he looks more at the big picture of things, and whereas I tend to focus at the minutiae, and he's looking at natural gas for Fairbanks or Polaris buildings or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And just a lot of enthusiasm there that I'm glad he brought to the table for mm-hmm. us. So.
The Fairbanks City Council over the years seems to be very engaged. It is it's a big job for somebody that's running for the council, and it's good to have different levels of or different areas of expertise, because the council does seem to be very engaged in the day-to-day activities. So that's good.
Yeah, and it's a fun bunch of folks to work with. It hasn't always been that way. I remember mm-hmm. councils that were extremely political.
Yes.
And all the backroom discussions and all, that's not a fun atmosphere. But for the last, 10, 20 years, it's been so much different. It's good people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has been. And I've always enjoyed when I've had to go down and interact with the council. I've done that a few times. I try to stay out of it because I don't live in the city. But I've had to interact with the building yeah. department and a few others and really appreciate the level of customer service and concern from the city employees. So they're doing a lot of things right over at the city.
So, well, thank you. Yeah. I'll pass that on to them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Give them an attaboy. Yes. Right. So that's good. So we have about a minute left. I guess about a half minute. The satellite's going to come over. We'll hear the music. But any closing thoughts?
Not really. I just hope the folks listening are engaged and will vote. Local elections are every bit as important as the national. Mm-hmm. But when you look at our statistics in the borough here, I realize that in November we get a lot more voters than we do for the local elections. People are more engaged in that. But I would hope you become engaged in the local as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's important, and it's it takes time, but it is fun to see the local representatives, how they interact with each other. Try to understand the local issues, because that's where we have the most individual impact. So it's very important to turn out for the local elections, and that is going to happen on October the 4th. Early voting is already in progress, and that's down at the Shoppers Forum if you want to vote early.
And at City Hall.
And at City Hall. Okay, very good.
Mandatory evacuations. Only Sabrady, Fox News. They continue in at least 10 Florida counties as Hurricane Ian takes aim.
Manatee County Administrator Scott Hopes says tropical storm strength winds are expected after nightfall, so he urges residents